You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Slavery is back.
Welcome to a place where private business profit from a captive labour force, yet pennies are spent on medical services to a population in which the Indigenous, the poor and the mentally ill are overrepresented. Where isolation, humiliation and degradation are facts of life. Welcome to prison.
It depends who's telling the story, I suppose. The prisoners would have one view. The people who work in the prison system would have another. And I think it's up to people to decide where the truth is.
Give government propaganda and the media spin doctors the flick. And check out Doin' Time for news, views and tunes on prison issues from Guantanamo Bay to Christmas Island, to prisons and detention centres everywhere. Every Monday at 4pm on your community radio, 3CR.
We are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Hello, and you are tuned into the Doin' Time Show, 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on the dial, streaming live on www.3cr.org.au. And I'd like to welcome listeners to the show and all our guests that are coming on. And a warning that this episode of Doin' Time contains audio images of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples that have died, graphic discussion of deaths in custody, possibly there could be a content warning about massacres, and the ongoing genocide of Aboriginal people. And also, we will be looking at the brutal concept of women in prison as well. On this week's show, we will start off by yarning with Yaren, and she will tell us what land she's from. But I believe that one of her lands is Wurrung, and she's Gundamara. And my pronunciation is probably really off, but I'm sure she will tell us beautifully what land she's from in a sec. Yaren is a law woman and fire keeper, and I've actually heard some of her wonderful interviews on Uncle Robbie's show, and I'm honoured to have her and also Violet Coco, who is a flotilla activist and also environmental activist. We interviewed Violet some weeks ago now, talking about her experiences on the flotilla. And I'll be speaking with these two, there's two amazing women, about what happened at the convergence of the closed Pine Gap Sacred Lands back 2026, which is taking place, or took place actually, in Alice Springs over 18th to the 20th of July 2026 on Pine Gap. And the event had 3 days of scheduled activities on the 18th to the 20th of July. And as I said, it's called Closed Pine Gap Sacred Lands Back Convergence. And basically I'm going to be talking to the two of them really about, I think they were there, and this show truly reflects lived experience, and in some ways getting back to colonization, Aboriginal led interviews as well. But Violet will also be there to share her perspectives of what happened. Pine Gap raises awareness about the massive US military buildup that is now occurring in northern Australia due to the prospect of war with China, which a lot of southerners are unaware of. But essentially, also drawing attention to giving sacred land back to the Aboriginal people. I'm also excited to be yarning later on the show with Debbie Kilroy, who's the CEO of Sisters Inside and founder of the National Network of Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. Tabitha Lean is also coming onto the show as well with Debbie. She's an organising member of the National Network of Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. And she's a First Nations human rights activist as well, who we've had before. So we're going to be bringing you a very special interview later on about a report entitled The Business of Family Policing in Queensland. And it's a report that talks about a lot of abuse that the system has perpetuated on women in prison and non-Indigenous and Indigenous people, but primarily also looking at things in the context of colonisation and the violence of the system, including the bail laws. But I'd really like now to get on and speak with Yaren and Violet. Hello, welcome both of you.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
No, it's great. It's great to have you both. And I wasn't actually at the conversion, so it was really difficult to actually speak to it. So it would be really amazing to have the two of you talk about it. Who wants to start off?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say for Yaren, it's Gunditjmara.
Thank you.
Yuen and Jabiroong country, sis.
I made a mess of that one.
No, that's so fine. But, yeah, I think it's so important to acknowledge that. And maybe you want to speak more about that, sis. You say hello and introduce yourself.
Yeah. Could you, Yaren? That would be amazing. I'd love that.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. I'm a proud Gunditjmara, Jabiroong, Yuen and Bidjara woman from my mother's country, Jabiroong and Gunditjmara, and my father's mobs, Yuen and Bidjara. And I'd just like to pay my deep respects to country where I'm yarning from today, on Jabiroong, and extend that respects to the Eastern Kulin families of the Woiwurrung and the Bunurong speaking peoples. And, yeah, that me and my sister Violet, we've got a good yarn from the Red Centre for you.
That's awesome. And thank you so much. And just before we go into that, Yaren, just so I can explain it and also to listeners, I've actually got a braille device because I've got a vision impairment. And sometimes the lands, because there wouldn't be any braille for the Aboriginal language, so it's pretty difficult for me to read that. So I do apologise once again.
No, that's okay. Oh. Thank you. That's fine.
Now,
so the country we were on was Mbatwe country, the Arente Mog.
Yarandamog.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
Go, Yaren. Yeah.
Well, it was just amazing to be in, Lapante, up on Aranda country. That's the proper name for Alice Springs and the country there that I believe is still unceded. We went there to support Aunty Felicity and her family and the Aranda families that are standing up for this sacred land back.
Yeah, it was so powerful. They wanted to deliver this letter to the military facility of Pine Gap, which is a joint facility of the US and Australia. And basically this facility, gathers information from the Swa'ana region, which is Palestine, Lebanon, Iran. It's, strategically placed in the globe to gather information from those places. And a lot of the death and violence that's happening there through the drones, that information is coming through Pine Gap. And so, the Palestinian families came together with the Arente Mob, the Hayes family, and, they had this shared experience of genocide and they stood together so proudly over that time to say, no colonization, no imperialism here, there. There was a couple of days of, conference where they had many people, amazing aunties from all around the continent come and speak about militarism and about one of the ones that sort of struck me was about, colonialism and imperialism. It's like an octopus, and often what we're doing is swatting at the tentacles and, trying to think about what it looks like to target the head and what is the head. And so, there was lots of, really powerful global yarns about, what we as a community can do moving forward to, stop the violence of these systems, but also, telling the story of that country. And, hearing about, I know this is behind the bars, but hearing about Dondale there, I don't know, Yaren, if you want to talk about what they were speaking about with that.
Go for it.
Yeah, it's quite a journey that we've been on as part of the convergence, but also just sitting with the Aranda mob on their country and hearing their stories and hearing how isolated and militarized their voices are when it comes to having their birthright, and the effects that now has extended to, you know, like all the babies being taken off country essentially and being put in jail. The jails up there are full of blackfellas, and hearing firsthand from the sister girls about their some of their partners and family members and, you know, grandchildren in jail was absolutely heartbreaking. But that's the truth of the Northern Territory intervention. And they've come down really hard on that area in particular to sustain the secrecy and the control around Pine Gap and the destruction that it's been doing. And so we weren't just there for sacred land back. We were there to confront all of these issues that our people are facing, and that they've just changed the Aboriginal, they've just legislated change to the Aboriginal child placement principle. And, you know, that's going to affect families even more. And some of what the sister girls have told me, you know, really needs to be amplified and put out there, that these mob have known what's been going on in their country for a long, long time, ever since that facility was put there on that country. And something that's going to stay with me forever.
Didn't they?
Hey, sis?
They did put it there under false pretenses. Like, they didn't tell mob what they were doing with that facility, and what they told locals was that it was going to be about observing space and not about murdering children in school with bombs, like with drone bombs. So I think, you know, there was a lot of lies and a lot of secrecy around it.
Yeah. And that they have heard the stories about what's happening around the world and the intelligence that's coming out of there, that, you know, more recently, exactly what Sis just mentioned is that, you know, this is coming from a place of a target to killing schoolgirls on the other side of the world. Like, it's not a joke. People need to realise that that intelligence is going straight to Israel, and it's complicity in the genocide all over the world for what the Australian government are continuing to do to Aboriginal people right across Australia.
And one of the shocking things, you know, when you come into Mbathwe country is the clear apartheid system that is in place there for people who haven't been to the Northern Territory. You know, I've only been to Darwin before that, and to come to Mbathwe country was very shocking because, you know, everywhere there's police, and outside the bottle shops, everybody gets, like, interrogated about where they're going. They get their ID taken. You know, there's clear, like, we were at a taxi rank for a bit, and the taxis would drive straight past if there was mob at the front of the line. Like, it was very, very difficult to see this, you know, happening to the sovereign people of this land. And when we went out to their home, so they, you know, graciously invited a few of us to come and see where they live and where their community lives. Beautiful. And there's no running water. There's no electricity.
Like, of course not.
They've got a solar farm that an organisation, NGO, had donated or whatever, but no power lines there, no water, no storage connected. And but 400 metres up the road is the rifle range, and that has power, electricity, storage, running water. And the government says, oh, it's too much, it's too difficult to bring it, that extra 400 metres to the home of the people whose land that they have raped and pillaged. And it's absolute bullshit because it's a desert. It's the same landscape everywhere. If you can get the power to there, you can get the power 400 metres further. Again, it's just absolutely apartheid state there. It is incredibly, devastating.
Thank you for telling us about that, Violet and Yaron. And a couple of points. I mean, first of all, it's 1788 all over again. It's an absolute atrocity. And as I said when I texted you off air, Yaron, it's always important to talk about the ongoing genocide of Aboriginal people. And because this show always comes back to colonisation, and it comes back to truly reflecting the lived experience of First Nations community migrants and refugees, and also people like Violet and other people that have been on the flotilla and other activists that have done a lot of work. But Yaron, I wanted to actually ask you. You were talking just before about the legislation in Alice Springs about what was happening with the child safety or so-called child safety. And Violet, I mean, you were talking a little bit about it yourself. What does that mean exactly?
It means that the government have more power to place Aboriginal kids in care and jail rather than with families and black carers.
Mm.
And that's extended family. So it's basically changed the laws to give child protection more powers in the Northern Territory. And in the Northern Territory intervention, if you actually look into it, you know, it's a lot different for their mob in the Territory than it is for the rest of the mob in Australia because of the intervention. And, yeah, I just think that their mob's voices need to be amplified and, you know, they don't want them more jails built on their country when they can't even have their communities, you know, supported by their basic human rights, supported by the government or any of the other, you know, local organisations. Obviously in the community there's only that local support, and that doesn't extend, you know, to all of those communities that are missing out on those basic water and sewage and power. It's really, really clear that it's been kept like that to wear mob down in the cultural genocide that's still occurring, and it's much more blatant up there.
It really is, and I wanted to know, Yaron, what land are you living on at the moment?
I'm living on Dharawal country, which is my grandmother line country from on my mum's side, and that's where I'm yarning from today. You know, coming home, knowing that we face, you know, very similar, you know, aspects of the genocide as black women in our communities, and that, you know, it's taken, you know, these aunties and families to stand up for their sacred land whilst we're all dealing with our own community sorry business and all the other effects of the mining and the abuse that's already taken place. You know, we're navigating the system as we're going. And, you know, one thing that one of the Aranda sisters said to me was that we have known what's been happening on our country for a long time, and it's just that we feel like no one has really heard us, and a lot of Aboriginal people feel like that, you know. And so we're ready to really speak up for these mob and get this story out there, like Aunty Sue and the rockets that are going across Gulgartha country, you know, the fight in Larrakia country, at Lee Point, where the sister girls are fighting for their sacred site.
And Karina Lester too.
Pardon?
Karina Lester.
Yes, yes. And she's one of my heroes. She's in the
Me
UN
too.
And she's fighting against the AUKUS deal. And, you know, the sisters at Lee Point, they're fighting against military housing. So they want to bring their military personnel over here and take over the top end. It's as simple as that. They're pushing fracking, they're pushing all sorts of mining, and all of that mining fuels the wars.
Violet and Yaron, it's been truly wonderful having you on the show. Do you think you'd be able to come back, Yaron, at some time?
Definitely.
I'd love to talk to you more. And you too, Violet.
And sis, about, you know, like being in a position where we can amplify their voices and, you know, stand with them in true solidarity, because it's not over for us. We're going back to support that community and as many others as we can ongoing.
Absolutely. Now, we've got coming up pretty soon, Sisters Inside. So I've got to finish soon, and I'm going to be speaking to Tabitha Lean as well, who's done a lot of work with First Nations as well. But Violet, I wanted to thank you personally for organising Yaren and for yourself to come onto the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. It's really amazing to chat with you, Marissa, and I'm so grateful for all the work that you do in our community to centre the voices that need to be heard. And, I encourage everyone who wants to stay connected with Yaren and her plight on her country, on Jabiron country, to jump onto Instagram if you've got it and follow Jabiron DJAB WURRUNG.
Jabiron, that's how you pronounce it. I'm getting better.
Yeah. we'd love if you could follow along with the campaign and donate if you can, because, Yaren's been so generous talking about other people's countries, but she's also got a big fight on her own country to protect birthing trees there. And so, any support we can get for protecting those sacred trees is just so important.
The birthing trees, yeah. We need to talk about that. Any final comments, Yaren, before we go?
I'd just like to say a big shout out to all my brothers and sisters on the inside, especially the sisters going into the next yarn. And what we heard, you know, we haven't forgotten you, and we're trying to create a future where, you know, you're not forgotten and you're brought back to community. And, you know, we've got big business to do on our Naram Naram, on the birthing country. It's all about creation of the future. So thank you.
I'd love to chat to you, yarn to you a lot more about that really soon. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks, Sue. Yarn soon.
Take care, both of you. Bye.
Bye.
And that was Yaren and Violet Coco speaking about not just closing Pine Gap, but also a lot of other campaigns to dispel the ongoing genocide of Aboriginal people.
Every day, people in prisons across Australia are subjected to strip searching. It is an unnecessary, degrading, and deeply harmful practice that must end. It involves a person literally being stripped of their dignity, forced to remove their clothing for their bodies to be inspected by prison guards, being forced to submit to humiliating requests like bending, squatting, and spreading their legs. In many prisons, people are subjected to this repeatedly and routinely. Children as young as 10 years old are being forced to remove their clothes and have their bodies inspected by adults. We're calling on the federal government to stop state-sanctioned violence by ending the routine, unregulated use of strip searching in prisons across Australia. Go to endstripsearching.com. Together, we can demand a system that upholds dignity, safety, and human rights. Fig Jam is a 3CR supporter.
And you're listening to the Doin' Time Show, 3CR Community Radio. For more than 30 years, Sisters Inside has walked alongside women and girls who have been criminalised, incarcerated, and separated from their families. From the very beginning, the work has been led by women who have lived through these systems themselves. The system continues to pay white parents to raise our children, and this is a quote, and this fails both our children and us as mothers. This is the government's business model, policing our families, removing our children, and then paying others to care for them. I'm delighted to welcome Debbie Kilroy, CEO of Sisters Inside and founder of the National Network of Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. And I'd also like to welcome Tabitha Lean, organising member of the National Network of Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. And Tabitha's also done some amazing work with other Aboriginal activism. And indeed, she's also been to prison herself, and so have Debbie. I mean, this show is, after all, about lived experience, and it always comes back to colonisation, and they're going to be talking about a really important report entitled The Business of Family Policing in Queensland, a report into the family policing system in Queensland 2026. And Tabitha has also been involved with that report as well. Hello, I hope you're both here.
Yes, thank you.
How wonderful. Debbie. Now, which is which?
I'm Debbie.
And
I'm Tabitha.
Oh, my goodness. Now, Debbie, you might need to just get a bit closer to the phone.
Okay, sorry.
That's a bit better.
Is that better?
Yep, yep. Okay. So basically I've got had you both on. It's so lovely to have you to talk about this report. I've read the whole thing and I'm certainly not uncomfortable. I actually feel comforted by the report. It's given me great comfort, actually, to read it. Who wants to start off?
Sure, I can. I find it interesting that you find it comforting because I was just rereading the quotes and I actually feel sick to the core of
my being. Sorry, Debbie. I find it comforting that this report was written.
Okay, yeah. I did understand what that's what you mean. I knew you weren't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for me, because I know the women and the girls and have walked alongside them for many, many decades. Yeah, just reading their words, actually, you know, I can feel the bodily hits as I read their words again. So, yeah. But thank you for having myself, and no doubt Tabs will say thank you herself. And I do want to acknowledge I'm here on stolen land, Magadan land, and I want to show my respects to elders past and present, the Turrbal and Yagara people here. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. And I listened just by, you did a little advert around strip searching, which is great because Citizen Side has been demanding that strip searching, which is sexual assault by the state, that we have framed up for many, many decades, for longer than three decades, to abolish. And tonight there's actually a Living Blacks on, which is actually talking about abolishing strip searching, and one of the Aboriginal women took the ACT government to the Supreme Court and won about her illegal strip search. So there's many of us for decades and decades calling for to abolish strip searching, not to have other mechanisms put in place, because we know when scanners are put in prisons, they use them as well as strip searching, so there's more surveillance, more control of our bodies. So, yes, we must stand together to demand the end of all strip searching, which is sexual assault by the state. So it's good to hear that and that reminder. So I'll hand it over to Tabs.
Yeah, thanks, Deb, and such an important campaign. And that's this report by Sisters Inside. It also talks about violence from the state, but in particular it talks about Queensland's so-called child safety system, which is called child safety, but we refer to it as family policing. I'm also calling it from Kaurna country, so I acknowledge the elders past and present here. But yeah, we're really happy to talk about this report, Marissa, which is drawn on the lived experience of mothers, former foster children, children from resi care, and Sisters Inside staff who've spent decades resisting the violence of the family policing system.
Absolutely, and sorry about being late. I was just having a yarn with some people who went to the convergence of Pine Gap, closing Pine Gap.
Fantastic. Hello. Fantastic.
Which is important as well, absolutely. Yeah,
too much happening. So how can we best, summarise the report? I was actually sick to the stomach myself when I read it. It was quite harrowing. First of all, what is the purpose of the report for listeners?
I think the purpose of the report was absolutely, we saw the LNP come into government here in the deep north, and they automatically set up an inquiry into the so-called child safety system. And once again, another inquiry that cost tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars, we actually knew it was never going to change anything. It was really a political inquiry to basically have a go at Labor, who was in government before them. And we see this every time new governments get elected in, they set up new inquiries, and it's just about political points. And so we decided it's time that the women, the girls, the children that their words are documented in regards to the truth, how they see the system and the harms of that system. And that's why, you know, we talk about there's nothing safe about child safety. There's nothing trauma-informed about their system. They're the ones actually ensuring that trauma is perpetrated against children. You know, we've witnessed for decades, generation after generation after generation, children and families being trapped in this web of state control and violence. And that generation after generation, the family policing system has stolen our babies, the babies of criminalised and imprisoned women and girls, over and over and over again. And, you know, and then we have this system, this violent system, the family policing system pays predominantly white people, well, they call them foster parents, to raise particularly Aboriginal children and Torres Strait Islander children. You know, we have money going, it's a business, right? That's the government's business model. Instead of actually providing funds, resources to families to actually live in this world as they live today and have for decades in absolute poverty and racism, you know, which is fundamentally, you know, from colonisation that continues today. So that's the purpose about giving the women, girls and children their voices for their truth to be told. And, of course, the staff, the sisters inside, that's been walking alongside those children and those mothers for decades.
And Sisters Inside is actually a statewide program, isn't it, helping women in prison?
It is. We're based in Queensland. We're in all the women's prisons as well as the prisons where the girls are. So that's in southeast Queensland and north Queensland. We're in there nearly every day, definitely weekly, supporting. We're also in watch houses, in courts and on release. Providing all the supports and services that women and children require as directed by them, and have been doing that, you know, for over 30 years now.
Well, you bring your lived experience from prison, isn't it?
Yes.
And well, that's important. Same,
you know, nothing's... Well, that's not true when I say nothing's changed. What's changed, like, as a 13-year-old child that was locked up in a cage for wagging school and taken from my parents and then not allowed to go back to my parents after that. The only thing that's changed has been the number of children that have been removed violently by the state and the number of girls and women that have been criminalised and imprisoned. That's all, the increase of numbers. Nothing else has changed. We see the same thing repeat generation after generation.
So basically in the report it says that... you know, there's a history of state control over families, particularly Aboriginal families and Torres Strait Islander families, carried out through surveillance, removal, punishment and institutionalisation. And Debbie, I'm certainly not discounting the experience of non-Aboriginal women at all, because, you know, it's the same, do you know what I mean? But there are other factors, aren't there?
Well, it's worse because there's more Aboriginal women, mothers that are targeted.
Correct.
And communities than white people. And that's the issue, right? It's about the mass targeting of these violent systems, whether it be this family policing system, the racial gender violence of policing, you know, the racism that's embedded in every institution since colonisation and invasion of this country is not addressed, and it keeps reducing the same harm year after year, decade after decade, generation after generation.
And Tabitha, what do you feel about all this, the surveillance, the removal, the punishment? I mean, I'm sure that's bringing up quite a lot for you.
Yeah, I'll just touch on what Deb was saying about Aboriginal children.
Sure.
Aboriginal children in Queensland make up just over 8% of Queensland's child population, but they actually account for more than 40% of children in state placement in the state. So what we see is a gross mass representation of Aboriginal children in this system because they're stolen from families and put into these institutions. And the thing is that this happens right across the board. This happens in prisons, this happens in residential care. The sweeping up and scooping up of Aboriginal people from the street into these institutions is exactly what we saw at the time of colonisation, where we swept people, where colonies swept Aboriginal people up off the community and put them into missions. And we're seeing that happen in our state institutions. And for me, I think about the women that I was inside with and the women who had their children taken from them by the state, the women who gave birth while in prison and had their babies taken from them. And some of the most devastating images I still have in my head are watching women walk back down the hill from having their baby at hospital, being there with their baby for an hour or two before welfare took them from them, and the women returning back to prison empty-handed, empty-bellied and empty-handed, with their breasts leaking with milk and they've got no baby to feed. And for me, the pain in those women's faces, that will never escape me. And this is something horrendous that we do to criminalise women and to their children. And what this report sought to do was bring that truth to light and to say these stories are horrendous. What happens to these children in care is horrendous. It's violence. And that we must actually pay attention to it, because this is generations of children and mothers having been disconnected and suffering some of the most horrendous violence that I think I've read about in a long time.
Absolutely. And as the report says, name the violence and go to the root of the problem.
Correct. Yeah. And the report is definitely confronting, but the truth is confronting. But people's discomfort is not the issue. The issue is the ongoing violence being inflicted on children and families every single day under the guise of so-called protection and safety. And that's what we really want to shine a light on and say that Sisters Inside doesn't call for minor reforms. We don't want to shave off some of the more grotesque flourishes of the system. We want radical transformation of how care and safety are understood in our community.
What are your thoughts on that, Debbie?
No, I agree with Tabitha. And, you know, I just have the report in front of me and I just keep seeing the children's and the mother's words jump off the pages. And I think that's the difference, you know, like that Sisters Inside over decades have long-term relationships with mums, criminalised and prison mums and their children, and we watch them grow. And we watch them grow into young adults who then have their own children, and then those children are removed, and then those children grow, and then those children are removed. And it's a system that's relentless of just child removal without any real excuse, without any, concept that the state could actually resource families and keep them together. It's the business model that the state continues to use, right? Policing our families, removing our children, then paying others to house them. And then when they actually don't want to house them anymore, and they house them without love and care, and when they want to stop housing them, they actually then throw it away to other so-called foster families, or they end up in resi care, which we know, the violence, and we hear the girls' words there of the violence in resi care, where they end up getting criminalised and actually put into a children's prison. And then we know that's the fast track into the adult prison system. You know, all these state violent institutions are preparing our children for adult prison. That's the reality, to be caged.
I mean, I'm just so honoured to have you and Tabitha onto this show, because you two haven't sold out. Lots of people haven't sold out, and you're still in the movement. You're still doing the work that needs to be done.
Oh, yeah, we'll keep doing that. We'll keep standing by the women and girls inside, and until every one of them is free and we're no longer caging people. This is the work we've got to do. This is about real community work. This is about standing by the people that are being most affected and the people that we left behind when we left prison. And we'll keep doing that, like I said, until the day we can close these prisons. That's the work. That's the real work. It's not just talking about it. It's not a slogan that you put on a T-shirt or in a bio in your line. This is about actually being there every single day for the people that need us most. And I think that's what I admire so much about Sisters Inside. They've held the line for over 30 years. and they keep doing it. They keep building community. And I know myself, as someone who's been to prison and came out, that I've been the beneficiary of that love and care of Sisters Inside, that unconditional love where they stand by people and their children. Sisters Inside stood by my whole family through my entire time of re-entry and even now. And that's the work that we need to do. That's the work we're called to do.
Absolutely. Go on.
And thanks, Tabs. And we are there because we are a community. We are a family. We are abolition feminists, and that's what you do. You build freedom as a practice, not carceral practices. And this is the problem. People get trapped within the system themselves, thinking that they're going to fix it internally or negotiate within those carceral frameworks, and that can never be negotiated. It has to be abolition. It's the only answer to end harm for all of us. And, I'm been around for a long time and, locked up as a kid at 13, over 5 decades ago, and I'm seeing babies stolen now that I know that I will have to fight, we will have to fight for them alongside their mothers to actually free them from the state's clutches of the harm that's going to be perpetrated. And this is another generation again, and there will be generations after that. So we need many more people to hold the line. And the more of us that hold the line against state violence, the more that we will succeed to end state violence.
It's so true. I mean, I've interviewed, week in, week out, I interview, people with lived experience of prison and all sorts of communities. But the thing that stands out for me, week in, week out, I interview aunties and uncles who've been in children's homes and they get removed for abuse, and yet they're being sexually abused in the homes.
Yes.
So what's that?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the ongoing violence of the state being inflicted on children and families every single day. And when you read the report, you hear some of the most harrowing stories of not only how the children are abused sexually and physically, but how they are also actively criminalised in the process of protecting themselves. And this is what's creating that pipeline from residential care or foster care into prison for children. So the state becomes these children's parents and then actively criminalise them. And then when they're in prison, completely abandons them. I mean, we have stories in that report of children actually choosing to stay in prison rather than going back to residential care. And that says a lot. We know how violent and horrendous prison is. And to hear a child say they would rather remain in prison than go back to that home should make us all stop and go, what the hell is going on in these places? And if we can spend that, I mean, Queensland's spending over $1.12 billion a year on the residential care system. If we can spend that on putting kids in these abusive homes, imagine if we gave that money to our communities and invest in our communities and families. We could keep children in their schools, in their communities, on their country, rather than removing them into these violent and horrendous situations.
Exactly.
That's what we call for radical reimagining, and reimagining our communities. That resources must be handed back to communities, because communities know how to solve these issues, and it's not with further state intervention and state violence, And the government here are treating children in a way that are political football, where policy that turns into laws are just hashtags, and people are jumping on hashtags. Like, it's a concern about the way that information is spread, particularly through social media, and how harmful it is that children's lives, how they're being harmed is due to a response to a hashtag that was catchy for everybody to spread, whether it be adult crime, adult time. We have a new policy hashtag, breach bail, go to jail. We have a very harmful hashtag that is around this country, jailing is failing, which is horrifying because, when you think about these hashtags, they're actually, and what you do about it, the only way that you can act on those hashtags is to net widen the carceral system, e.g. jailing is failing. Well, if jailing is not failing, jailing is doing exactly what it's established for, and it's functioning better than ever. So, but if you think about, if I believe that jailing is failing, I think about ways to fix it up, which actually then widens the carceral response. We've actually got, it has to be abolition is the only answer, not these hashtags that are causing so much harm and are catchy. And the more you spread those harmful hashtags, the more harm we are inflicting on our babies, children and mothers.
Indeed, and really for that to happen, the way support would look like then is to have resources to deal with all that.
Yes. Absolutely. Like imagine what $1.12 billion could look like in Aboriginal communities, you know, or the cost of imprisoning a child, you know, like we're building prisons here that's costing one cage is $1 million. Like I've said to department officials, to the government, give the $1 million to the family. That they go, oh, they'll waste it. It's like, well, it's being wasted now. But see, because it's their business model and because it's functioning, because they need actual bodies, Aboriginal bodies, to cage to give other people employment. You know, this ends up at a dead end for everybody, for children who are harmed, children who are caged, mothers who are harmed, mothers who are caged, but also as an employment strategy. Because when does it end? It has to come to an end. Or do we end up like the territory that you're either caged or you have the key to the cage because that's the unemployment available? And that's the road that we're on fundamentally.
And the thing is, what Deb's saying is correct, because the public is largely told that children are removed from their parents because their parents are abusive or neglectful. But it's simply not true. What we often see labelled as neglect is actually poverty, houselessness, domestic violence, disability, unsupported trauma. And instead of responding with housing, healing, financial support and community care, the state responds with removal. And they respond with removal because they're a system that must perpetuate themselves in order to survive. Like, this is an industry. This is a child removal industry. And they keep doing this because they keep employing people. And like Deb said, you either end up in the system or you're working for the system. And that's where we're headed in this country with the massive expansion of imprisonment, incarceration and child removal. Is all we're going to have is these industries based on scarcity rather than healing and abundance and love and care. It's scary, actually.
I mean, in the report, it actually says, for Aboriginal families and Torres Strait Islander families, it happens in the shadow of a long and violent colonial history. And that shadow and black cloud is over the whole country.
Correct. This is the continuation of the Stolen Generations, just under a different name.
It's the modern machinery, isn't it? As it says in the report, for this same colonial project, dressed in the language of welfare and protection. End of quote.
Yeah. Yep.
It's been amazing having you both. I mean, are there any other comments that either of you want to make about this report?
Well, I think it'd be good for people to, it's on our website, it'd be good for people to read it, to hear from the children themselves and the mothers themselves. It is harrowing. However, it must be read in the context of the harrowing violence that they've experienced and that they have had the courage to come forward because of the relationships we have to be able to talk about this, name this and document this, because none of these mothers, none of these children, nor the sisters inside have ever been asked to give evidence at any quote-unquote child safety inquiry because they actually don't want to hear the truth. And this is actually the truth. It's documented. It's their words. So please show them, honour the mothers, honour the children, you know, and honour the mothers particularly. Though, you know, Tabitha was a mother in prison. I was a mother in prison. We've all experienced this. And we have refused and continue to refuse. And women, mothers today, refuse to give up on fighting for their babies. And that's what inspires me. Yes. I call it work in the sense, but it's not. It's my life purpose. I will never stop doing this. I will never stop for the freedom, you know, and the safety for our babies, our children, and for mothers and women inside. And I, you know, encourage others, your listeners, to join us in that fight, because abolition is the only way to free us all.
And you, Tabitha?
Look, I think Deb summed up absolutely everything I was going to say, but I, again, encourage people to please read the report. But I also want to comment that now that the government has a copy of this report, if they choose to do nothing, then they are choosing to remain complicit in a system that's harming children while claiming to protect them. And I think it's something we must hold the toes of the government to the fire and say, this is what's happening. This is what you are paying for, to happen in our, in this state, and something must be done about it. And like Deb said, the only way is we must abolish these systems. We must work to build up our communities to keep people safe, what real safety means to us as a community. So, yeah, please download the report, read it, and then approach the government, your member of parliament, whoever, to say that you don't want this done in your name, you don't actually endorse, or you will not be complicit in the harm of the children and families going forward.
So in terms of the report, so there are quite a collection of quite a lot of stories, isn't there, from people that have been to prison or even from children?
Yes, so mothers who've had their children removed, children who have now aged out of the system, as well as workers at Sisters Inside. So there's quite a lot of very rich stories in there that were very difficult to read, but super important, like Deb said, that people have a voice because they don't get given a voice in this system.
I mean, I don't really use much social media, but I suppose, Tabitha, you were the one that drew my attention to this report, and I'm so glad that you did.
Thank you.
So can one of you just give the website for listeners and where to find the report?
Sure. It's on Sisters Inside. Let me find. I've got it opened. So it's sistersinside.com.au. But if you just search, do a search in your search engine and search family policing report, it'll come up as Sisters Inside. Because it isn't a PDF, so it's quite a long website address, which I don't want to take a day to read out. So if but if you go to Sisters Inside and reports, it'll be there.
Absolutely. And really, just to finish off, so I'm just going to look at one more quote in the report. So the rise in formal child removals signals a system focused more on intervention and control than on prevention and support. What are your thoughts on that really quickly?
This is a system that will invest money into caging and stealing children rather than investing in keeping them in communities and classrooms. And this is the horrifying part of where we're headed, not only as the state of Queensland, but as the country, where we would rather funnel people into harmful and often death-making industries than actually spend that money building up our community and keeping our kids where they are most safest, which is with their families, with their communities and on country. And that's a shift that we must make.
Absolutely. And that's part of the, would be part of the recommendations, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting, just finally, I was talking to an Aboriginal organisation that's been funded to support children, and it is an Aboriginal organisation that cares for children 24 hours, 7 days a week. They have, sorry, it's in the afternoon, big day. They were informed that their funding ended 30 June this year. However, it was extended till this Friday. So they were telling me, because they were absolutely distressed because what the state has done, this LNP government, is to say that all the children that have been stable in their care are being removed and transferred to a white organisation. And they were telling me a little boy that was there with them for 4 years and stable had been in 46 foster care placements 2 years prior to that. 46. Stable with them for just under 4 years, and he is being removed this week. Another little 11-year-old Aboriginal girl with severe disabilities, who has been stable with them, is being removed to a white organisation who doesn't, they don't even know which white organisation yet, and they are totally distressed, the children and the Aboriginal staff, because they don't know what's going to happen to their babies that they've been caring for alongside their families because this government is placing them with white organisations. This is about invisibilising Aboriginal people, Aboriginal services, Aboriginal children. It's a whitewash. The LNP is ensuring that it is only white that is getting funded and that Aboriginal children are actually the ones that are going to pay the price now as babies and as they grow up through life into adulthood to be caged.
Truly, truly horrifying, and we need to continue the work.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, both of you, for coming onto the show. Before we go, one thing that I like to do on this show is actually, educate listeners about what land that people are from. Tabitha, could you just, I know I should have asked you at the beginning, but that's okay, just as powerful. Could you just say what land that that you're from?
Oh, so I'm zooming in from Kaurna country today, which is in Adelaide. So that's where I'm coming from today. And actually the Kaurna people are in the middle of a massive project of protection where the state government here is digging up Piltawadli, a sacred place with sacred trees. There's also a burial site, and they're digging it up to put a golf course. So the Kaurna people are currently fighting that and trying to protect country. So, yeah, very busy things happening over here.
That's a lot. That's a lot of local stuff we'll talk about. And, Debbie, I wanted to also thank you for coming onto the show and sharing not just Sisters Inside, but also your story too.
Yeah. And I'm here in Magogan, otherwise White Ways, called Brisbane. And the traditional owners here have also been fighting, as Tabitha said, a project of protection here in Victoria Park, which is a massive body of land in the middle of Magogan, where this government is going to dig it up for a stadium for the Olympics. And, you know, Tab said, what's happening in Kaurna country, they're digging sacred land there for a golf course, where this is actually a golf course that they're going to dig up for a stadium. Horror stories around this country, the destruction of Aboriginal land, sacred land.
That is absolute shame. I've got about a minute before I get out of here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye. And that was Debbie Kilroy, who's the CEO of Sisters Inside, and also Tabitha Lean, who joined us today, First Nations activist, prison activist. And it's approximately 4:57. Stay tuned every Monday from 4 to 5 for the Doin' Time Show, and take care of each other. Bye. Yeah.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.